This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Walker, and today my guest is our own J.R. Portman, who is our Chief Revenue Officer, soon to be President at Shop Marketing Pros. And we're going to be talking about an event that he just attended. I don't know if event is the right word. He can clarify that for us. But before we get too far into this, let's take a second to thank our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by ShopBoss. Manage and grow your shop with top features like integrated payments from 360 Payments. Declined repairs don't have to be lost revenue. AppField's call center schedules follow-up calls and equips your team with everything they need to close the deal. Get started now at appfueled.com. Well, hey, JR.
What's up, Brian?
Oh, glad to have you with me today. Excited to talk about this thing that you just went through. Bold Leadership was the name of it, right?
Bold Advanced Leadership. Yeah, it's done by a company or a group called Driven Leadership. There's a lot of words in there, so I kind of like to mix them all up. But it's called their program that does Bold Advanced Leadership.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about it. What surface level? What was it?
So what it was kind of, I'll tell you before this that I've been explaining it every time someone asked me. I told my wife about it, and I told her one way. I told my kids another way. So I keep saying it a different way. But I'm stepping back and just trying to explain it simply. It's a leadership training on an individual level that's more about building up the self and challenging a person to step in to basically their best self, rather than like the kind of leadership you would think, like, all right, here's how you manage a team. It wasn't like that. The way to describe it is like the Navy SEAL training for emotional leadership. So, meaning very challenging.
As you've talked about it, you've told me about it some, and some of it seems a little cryptic. I'm like, man, is this like Fight Club? I know that you were very happy with your decision to go, but tell us a little bit about like how you found out about it and why you decided to go in the first place.
Yeah. And look, I love, the older I get, the more I like not knowing about things. You know, like if someone recommends a book to me, I'm like, don't tell me anymore. I'm just going to read it. I don't want to know what the plot is. And same thing with movies. I don't even want to see the trailer anymore. I just want to go and make my own decisions. So the way I heard about this, so as you know, Brian, we're part of our own coaching group for agencies, and we go to seven-figure agency and we sit, you know, pretty much every quarter in a room full of the best agencies in the country and just share ideas and do the same thing that our shop owners are doing, just trying to, you know, iron sharpens iron, that kind of thing. Towards the end of it, there's a guy I like seeing there, another agency, one of our agencies called Hook Agency. He was up there giving a talk and he was sharing his take. He's basically me. He's another integrator. And he was talking about how he said, invest in your people. That was his whole speech, but he said, if you can send them to this training, the Bold Advanced Leadership, it is life-changing. He's a Midwest guy. He's kind of understated. And for him to say life-changing got my attention. And I just happened to be in a place where, like, I read a lot. You know, I read a lot of leadership books. I try and live and lead or whatever. So I'm always on the lookout for something different. And I've never really tapped into going to, like, an event. You know what I mean? In fact, I'm very wary. You and I together have been to lots of things, but I'm wary of the like the fake event where they're just there to sell you a program. I don't like that kind of stuff. So that's how I first heard about it.
So it's interesting, and it makes sense to me that when he said something about it, that you were paying attention to it, because, and this is just kind of a testament to the value of being part of organizations like the one that we're in, and so many shop owners that are listening are in also. The person that you heard about this from is very much in a situation like you. He's, you know, probably a couple of years ahead in that he's with an agency and the CEO of that agency is very much the visionary and has hired. I'm sure he was already working there. I don't know the whole story behind that, but he has stepped into the president role at that agency. So he's a great person for you to be able to kind of tap into to say, okay, how is this going to work?
Yeah. Well, it's just like, you know, when we talk about customer reviews or whatever, like people are going to trust other people over the, you know, if I'd gotten hit by an ad or something like that from this company, I probably would have ignored it. But just right, I mentioned it was the right timing for me as well. that I've just, you know, you and I have been talking about the presidency and stuff, and I'm just really trying to see how can I level up myself in just, you know, thinking about it. And so I immediately just went, gosh, as soon as he sat down, I went over his table. It's like, hey, talk to me after. I want to hear more about this. And he said, totally, dude. It's, and he repeated, it's life changing. So now you mentioned earlier that it was kind of cryptic. When I asked him about it, we basically exchanged Facebook messages back and forth. And he said, yeah, it's really cool. You know, you go to this place, it's a weekend, there'll be other people there, and you know, you'll learn a lot, and it's life-changing. Like, very vague kind of instructions. And of course, I went to their website and I watched, they have a little video on there. It was enough to pique my interest, but he was a little vague about it as well. And this is kind of the, I'm going to be vague with you too today. It's a bit of the mystique of it is that you don't want to just like working with a shop. You don't say, here's what it is, A to Z. It's essentially all the same, right? Going there, though, and experiencing what is their thing like, what is that, was what he was trying to keep, play close to the vest. And it kind of becomes this thing that people that go through it, you're in the know, and you can't be in the know unless you do the thing. You know what I mean?
But that's why I say it kind of reminds me of Fight Club. You know, first rule of Fight Club, you don't talk about Fight Club.
Yeah, well, and then the whole Navy SEAL thing, I was like, am I truly going to get beat up here? Like, I don't want to fight. But I can tell you this, like, I'm not the kind of kid. So when I was growing up, I did a lot of scouting stuff. So I went to scout camp, which is his own thing. That's what I did in the summer. I never did one of those like sleepaway camp experiences that other people do. The reason I say that is because I realized when I was there, you're in a situation that's very intense with a very small group of people. It was men and women in all different walks of life. In fact, there's only one other agency there. Everybody else was like an AC manufacturer. And there was, I don't even know what everybody did, to be honest. Like, but you're in this situation where like you're bonded by trial. And so it's like, oh, this is like summer camp. I'm making instant friends who I feel like I've known forever. And we're all going through this together. So that itself was a worthy experience for me because like, I don't get to do that. I'm 46 years old. I don't have that opportunity very much. And it happened to be this one they did. It's usually on the West Coast. They're based on the West Coast. But this one was in Tennessee for the first time. So I went there and other people came and stuff. And it was at this YMCA camp. So it was really, it was like literally a kids camp. And there were actually kids there and stuff like that. Slept in bunk beds, the whole deal. But that's not the point. It's just kind of part of it was breaking myself out of my norm, which is a lot of these things. Like you got to get out. You got to get away. I couldn't sit here and do the same kind of thing at my desk over on an online course.
All right. Well, folks listening, we're not going to let JR be too cryptic. We're going to drag some things out of him. All right. So did you have any expectations before you showed up? And was there a point where once you got there that you were like, oh, this is not what I thought it was going to be?
I had some expectations of like the classic. When teams go out together and they do a thing together, they always do a trust fall. And I was like, oh man, I'm going to have to do a trust fall. So I'll ruin that. I totally did a trust fall. But I've honestly never done that before. It's like a cliche. But when we did it, like I was up on a ladder and I'm not that heavy of a guy, but that was a freaky experience. I was like, okay, I can see why people do this kind of thing. So I expected some stuff like that I wasn't going to be surprised about. I knew I was going to be challenged, but there were some things specifically, you know, the methodology, I had no idea going in how intense it was going to be, like a little, think like drill sergeant kind of thing. Not in a way that was miserable. It was not a miserable experience, but we started the day I got there, you know, met my people for an hour and we went till midnight that night. And then we started again 7 a.m. the next morning and went till 1 a.m. that morning, like consistently, you know, we break for meals and stuff. So I knew it'd be intense. It was more intense than I realized. And I knew we'd do some classic leadership stuff, which we did, but we also went beyond that as well.
What did that experience teach you about your own limits?
Some of the things, like I pride myself on being able to go, adaptability is like one of my core strengths, I guess, as arrogant as that sounds. But you can put me in a room of like anybody, and I'm going to be okay. I'm going to blend in, I'm going to figure out what I need to know, and I'll be all right. I don't lack confidence in that part. But what I learned, like there were some exercises specifically, I'm good at public speaking usually. Like I'm not one of those people that's terrible. I get nervous for sure, beginning out on stage. So there was a lot of a public speaking element of this, which for me, I was like, sweet, this is my comfort zone. I feel like I'm going to ace this. But the way they wanted me to do it pushed me beyond my comfort zone. Like I'm talking to you right now and we're having a conversation, right? Well, what if you started yelling at me, Brian? And then what am I going to do then? Or what if I'm told like, I need you? Do you see those really good public speakers who like are really showing enthusiasm and emotion, that's a skill I've never tapped into, you know, despite doing Toastmasters and all that kind of stuff. So I learned that where I'm comfortable with is not what they were interested in. It was very interesting because I thought, I was like, I'm going to do so good at this because I'm the adaptability and I've already got leadership. So there are people there that were younger than me, people that were not necessarily leaders or reading all the books I do. It didn't help me. Like, it actually hindered me. I had to let go of what I did and let go of being in charge. I'm a big old control freak, as you know. So that did not help me at all. And I really had to unlearn that part of it.
They kind of broke y'all down some, didn't they?
Very much. Very much. Trying to build it up and say, because I definitely want the takeaway here to be that it was worth doing. I wouldn't just send anybody there to do it. But yes, they broke us down in a way that was necessary to the process. You know, like one of the very first things we did was give a speech and we basically all failed. Like, she told us, the leader, who, by the way, Mary, she's like all of 5'4" or whatever, but I wouldn't want to get in a fight with her. She's incredibly fierce, and just the energy that she brought to this thing, I don't know how old she is, but, you know, she just gave it her all. So it wasn't one of those things that was like, again, I was telling you before, you go into a room and you sit in there and you're with one of these super big speakers and it's like, you're one of 10,000 people and you like get to see the guy way on the stage. It was not that at all. It was me and 9 other people. So it was very, very intimate, which I don't know. It's just one of those experiences that, like, no matter what comes out of it, it was intense. But yeah, they broke us down, but it was manageable. It wasn't like they were there to try and make you feel like crud, like you would in basic training or something like that. It's more leadership basic training, I guess. Like, let's start from, and some of these concepts, you know, I've read books about, and, you know, start with, what is your why? What does it mean to be bold to you? When you die, what do you want people to say at your grave? Like, I've heard these concepts before and I've written them, I've done them, whatever, but done in a different way, in a, you know, not just like, oh, I'm going to do it as an intellectual exercise, but an actual there. And then, of course, you have your peers with you. It's just a pretty powerful experience.
ShopBoss is software built by shop owners for shop owners. ShopBoss is the shop management software that works the way you need it to, so you can reach your biggest goals without slowing down. Help your techs fix cars faster with intuitive inspection tools that supercharge your operations and keep vehicles cycling through your base. Get into ShopBoss mode with an ROI dashboard that gives you critical information at a glance and updates in real time. And accelerate your payments with Boss Pay, powered by 360 Payments, by giving your customers more ways to pay. From text to pay, remote payments and consumer financing, to compliance, surcharging, and PayPal and Venmo mobile pay options. Boss Pay puts your customers in the driver's seat and keeps your business moving. Plus, their entire team is on deck to help you simplify your day-to-day, flag more hours, and generate more revenue. Other software makes you work, but ShopBoss works for you. Independent auto repair shops, get ready to transform your business with AppFueled. It's time for your professional auto service shop to have its own customer loyalty app. AppFueled will build an app that launches a custom loyalty program for your shop in 30 days or less, fully integrated with your point-of-sale system. Bring Fortune 500 level customer retention strategies to your business without the Fortune 500 budget. Many shops are enjoying the benefits. Our app engages your customers with a loyalty ladder, enticing them to climb the next rung, coming back more often and spending more each visit, all with your own app. Build loyalty with your customers, to your brand, and boost your shop's growth. Get your first app in 30 days or less, all without breaking the bank. Ready to start? Let AppFueled take your business to the next level. Go to appfueled.com or meet founder Jeremy Glasgow and book your complimentary app vision session at appfueled.com/Jeremy. That's appfueled.com/Jeremy. Well, you know, it's interesting because we were just in our leadership meeting. I mean, like right before we're recording this podcast, we were just in a leadership meeting. There were, you know, a couple of moments in that leadership meeting where we got a couple of heavy topics and we got a little, I don't want to say heated. It wasn't heated, but I mean, there were some emotionally charged discussions that we just had. And then we come straight from something like that into, let's go record a podcast now. How does, you know, what you just did at that training relate to a situation like that?
Yeah, that's a good point. So right now in my hands, I don't, the people who are listening to this can't see it, but I've got a coin that they gave me and I've never had one of these before. I know that it's kind of a military thing where you get these challenge coins. So they gave me a challenge coin and it says on it, all in, I am a champion, bold, advanced leadership. And on the back, it says lead, communicate, team, committed, bold, and courageous. So we just said, now we know from EOS that conflict is not a bad word. You have to have healthy conflict. You can have your opinions. And when you get in a room with five leaders, you're going to get five different opinions. And you've got to make sure, like, there's a lot at play in those kinds of discussions. But, you know, when I go through something like that, I had my takeaways, which we'll talk about it, because personal to me, what I wanted to get out of that. But just to answer your question, like, what if you're in a situation where you're like, I'm not used to people having an opinion that's different from my own? Or, man, I don't agree and I'm getting mad. Or I don't feel like I'm being hurt, whatever. Like, all of that stuff, you have to get comfortable in leadership with being uncomfortable, right? This is a very basic tenet of this kind of stuff. And surround yourself with people that are challenging you. You know, I was telling you, I think yesterday, that I'm reading
Irrefutable Laws.
Irrefutable Laws, John Maxwell. And one of them is the law of the inner circle. You know, you're not going to get any better by living a safe life, by having people that don't challenge you, whatever. So I'm cool. Like, I don't want to say that I think part of the point of the training was I've gotten very good at controlling everything and not allowing myself to just be very even, which is a good thing, right? Like, I don't want to be yelling at people and stuff like that. But a part of the training here was to let go of some of that control. And that was the hardest part for me, Brian, is like doing, like, I don't raise my voice. I don't cry. I don't laugh. Like, I don't act like a child, you know? So some of that stuff is not a good thing for us adults. And that's part of like the misery, you know, people who feel like they're stuck. It's just like, well, yeah, you're trying to just be middle of the road, and that's not how we're designed to be.
You said that you have some takeaways. Let's get into that. What are some of the main takeaways that you have from this event?
Of course, going through the event, you know, we did all sorts of stuff, and you know, they asked you the question, like, what's your 1%? And a lot of these leadership books as well will say, you can't just change overnight. The 1% every week is a good start. So probably my biggest takeaway was living with more enthusiasm. And you know, people listen to this don't get to necessarily be part of Sharp Marketing Pros, but we do a lot of things with the staff, right? We have quarterly meetings and we have team meetings, whatever. So I told myself that I have a good gift of connecting with people and stuff like that, that I'm not fully tapping into. Why not turn it up a notch or two notches or three notches? So, and you know, this is, Brian, you were there when like we had our, I think only a week or two after I got back, we had our quarterly conversation. The whole staff is there, our quarterly staff meeting. I'm like, I'm gonna see how much energy I can bring to this thing. You know, it's kind of comical because I felt like an MC, you know, like, hey, now everybody, you know, being really excited about it. But heck, why not? I got that in me. The fear is you don't want to make a fool of yourself. And that's part of what I learned. I'm very afraid of people laughing at me or not taking me seriously, but who cares? So a lot of that you got to put aside. So one of my biggest takeaways, and this is not just in work, we're talking about here at Sharp Marketing Pros, but as a father and a husband, I want to be, you know, more present. Stop talking now because I'm going to start to cry. Talk about that emotion. But yeah, man, like, why not? What do I have to lose? And I'm not getting younger, all that kind of stuff. It gave me the permission to make a fool of myself, but to live enthusiastically. And I really needed that for all sorts of reasons, personally and professionally.
You just said something really important. As business people, we'll train the heck out of ourselves on business. We'll go to the conference and learn how to, you know, be better leaders in the business, or go learn how to read the financials, or, you know, whatever it might be. But there are so many things that cross over from business to our personal lives. And it's real easy to ignore the personal life because we're so focused on trying to make the business better. So how much would you say, I know that you keep in touch with the people who you went through this with. You know, how much would you say of this was like purely business, or not only business, but applies to your personal life as well?
That's a good question. I would just split it right down the middle because we didn't sit down and talk about like, all right, well, let's look at a P&L. Like, there was nothing like that. There was one point where it was more about, well, what you just asked me about, debating with people. And she presented us with a very real life situation of an employee that had been promoted, but then is not performing and is kind of giving an ultimatum, like, would you move them back to where they were? And I think anybody can relate to that in any business. And then we had to sit across the room and debate that kind of stuff. So that was directly related to business. But I mean, both of my, for me, the lessons were, what do I want from my life? I think that their focus was not on, you have to be a leader of a team to be able to do this. Like I said, there was all people from all sorts of different walks of life. So who is this right for is probably one of your questions. Who needs to go to this? Number one, they made it very clear, you know, you should don't tell people to come to this room who are not seeking. You know, you don't put someone there. I'm like, I don't know. I told my wife about it. She's like, I would hate that. I was like, yeah, it's not for you. She's not the kind of person that wants to do that. And she's also not seeking that. But I was. So it made sense for me, you know, dancing around your question here. But I felt like it was applicable to everything. So both personally and professionally. And when I came home, like the very next day, I got home at like 1:30 in the morning. And the very next day was my son's last soccer meeting. And, you know, a soccer game. And I went to that game, Brian, and I sat out there, and my wife was their coach too. And I was hooting and hollering. Normally, I just sit on the sidelines and watch, and I'm invested, you know, and I'm staying off my phone and all that. But I was like, heck, I'm going to cheer. I'm going to be that guy that yells. I'm not really that kind of guy. So like, that's very personal, right? And then I gave you the example of I came to the business and did that way. So there is no area of my life that it didn't apply to.
It's interesting. I'm reading a book right now. It's called The Great CEO Within. And there's a section in that book where the author is telling you that if you want to get better at leading your team, go to a kid's sports game and go find the team that's down and pick up on the names of the kids playing on that team and start cheering for them and telling them about all of the good things that they're doing. And you'll see the tide shift in that game. It's very interesting to me, you know, what you're saying about going to the game, doing that, and then just, you know, being more
enthusiastic. Enthusiasm was the word I wrote down for myself because I want to be that. Like I keep on my board behind here, the things that, you know, other exercises I've done, like what do I want to be remembered for? And like optimism and support and supporting people and dedicated are my three words that I want people to say. I don't want to have to, hey, am I? I want them to naturally say that's what that guy was. And it takes work to get to that point. But, you know, you're right. Like we all know words have power, words to ourselves and mental talk and that kind of stuff. But we did an exercise. You reminded me of this when we were in that group where it was super simple, but you put your hand out and you just say the words, say, I can't. And another person pushes down on your arm. And, you know, that's the kind of thing I'm like, I'm totally going to beat this exercise. You know where it's going. Like you say, I can't, your arm goes down. I swear to God, Brian, when you say I can, people cannot push your arm down. It's so crazy. And then you do it and then you have it done to you. And it works. That psychophysical response is just like that. Like, why not? And we get in such habits. You know, every habit book talks about this kind of stuff. But like, it's okay to stand in front of the mirror. It's goofy as it is to say, you can do this. You can do this. I love you, man. You know, that kind of stuff. Like, just, I don't know, we've been beaten down or trained not to, so to heck with that stuff.
Mel Robbins has a book where, you know, she talks about giving yourself a high five in the mirror every morning. She has an entire book on this concept. It's crazy what the human mind does. Like, it really is. So tell us about another takeaway that you have.
Another takeaway for me was just being honest, not kind of sugarcoating. And I'm not great at this. I really like to encourage people. But I don't necessarily want to tell people, you know, the things they don't want to hear. So a lot of the exercises we did with, like, you know, my campmates, there was a lot of like standing there in front of someone saying uncomfortable things and not negative things, but like pushing again beyond that level of control, like, hey, you're all right, brother, as opposed to like, listen, Brian, here's what I really appreciate about you. You will take a risk when other people won't take, like being honest, like looking at a person saying something like that. And, you know, one of the things I did immediately, because we had a new employee that started who I'm personally training. And one of the exercises there was, again, complete strangers. We had 5 minutes for me to learn everything I could about that person. And then 5 minutes for them to learn everything about me. I have to give a speech about it. That's a cool exercise because, boy, you're going to listen then, aren't you? And I don't have the best memory anyway. But, you know, I was like, this is cool. And she related it back to work. She's like, how often do people come to work in your business or your shop or whatever? And you're just like, all right, there's your tools. Go for it. Let me know if you have a problem. And it's like, who wants that? Like, are you setting that person up for success or not? Versus when, you know, who we're talking about came into work with us, I was like, you know what, before we get started, I totally was. I had my list of things I was going to teach you. I was like, tell me a little bit about you. Like, what what do you like to do for fun? What motivates you? Like, what did you get up to this weekend? Just being human. And I did that, and immediately I feel like it set up a great, you know, that could make the difference of that person staying in the long run or not, just by feeling like, oh, they actually value me as a person, not just as someone doing a job.
Yeah. And listeners, I mean, that is the easiest takeaway that you can take from this. You know, I mean, you know how important it is to keep great people in your shops. And, you know, what JR is saying here, like on their first day, what does it look like? You know, is it just here's your bay and here's your first repair order? Or is there some time spent getting to actually know that person on a personal level? You know, are you taking them to lunch and spending some time with them? So, and that kind of stuff just makes all the difference in the world. I need to learn from that and do a much better job at that.
For listeners, Brian, occasionally when he has the time, we'll go and sit in with different teams and just like show his face, whatever. With the higher up you are on the chain of command, those little gestures have even more power. So there's a lot to be done. But I think in the age of AI, everybody wants to talk about, this is the takeaway that a lot of smart people are saying. It's like, it doesn't matter what the machines can do more and more, that connectivity, that just little moments of shared realism matters more now than ever, which makes it easier, actually. You can just have a conversation like, how you doing for real? Then you're winning, you know?
Yeah. Oh, just, yeah. Face-to-face time with people. It's just incredibly valuable. They kind of forced you to go places in your mind that you didn't want to go. Get out of your comfort zone. What was the big value, the big takeaway in spending that time doing these things that were just hard to do, like it's things that you just don't want to do?
I truly was like, I have not in my head a long time had the conversation like, oh my gosh, I think I might not be able to do this. I think I might fail. Like there was a crux for me where I was like, so I recently went on a trip, you know, I'm squirreling off, Brian, watch my brain go. But I was in the Bahamas and there was a cliff with one of those sinkhole sort of things. It was about four stories. And boy, I'm not afraid of heights, but like, that's a long drop. You know what I mean? And it was totally one of those things. And you and I joke all the time how you're the type who jumps off the cliff and brings to build a plane down. But legitimately, I jumped off a cliff and I was like, I can't do this. But like, my mind immediately went back to like, you're afraid of like looking like a fool. You're afraid of failing. You're afraid of what physical damage and all that stuff. Just do it. And who cares? Like, I think the challenge was for me, it made it very clear how serious I take myself. Like, I really like don't want to look a fool. I don't want to fail. I want to control my image. All that stuff was blatantly apparent to me. And if I was going to succeed, I could not do the class without looking like an idiot. That was part of it. And so that was very hard for me. And once I was able to get past that, because I could have said no. Actually, in our cohort, we had someone who basically said no and was not able to really complete the program. Like that was for me, my challenge. There's other stuff for other people, you know, maybe opening up and other stuff. I'm pretty open about myself and stuff, but that was my challenge. Once I was able to do it, I realized that there was everything else was not cake, but easier that way. And that's a big lesson for me. It's like, all right, if you can do it here, in front of other strangers and look like a fool, then why not take a chance in other places?
Yeah. I think my biggest challenge with that thing would be the 7 a.m. to 1 a.m. Brian does not do well sleep deprived, but no, after hearing about it, there would be much larger challenges than that. So, all right, for our listeners, any advice that you would give them based off of what you learned?
I would say this is finding something like this. If you hear me talking, part of it, I got to give myself credit, is that I hopped on something very quickly. I found out about this thing and it could have literally been, I really like this program and I would recommend it to anybody who's in the right state of mind to like push themselves beyond it. But there's something to be said about, you know what? Don't think too hard. Like I was already thinking like, how am I going to step up? Something came up like, I don't need to know much. I'm going to go do it. The reading the book without reading the back cover or the synopsis. So that's one takeaway. Like if you hear me say that, it's like the pastor in church is like, if my message resonated with you today, do something about it.
Your coach pushed you to do that.
That's right. He did. And he said, because I was going to, you know, being my integrator self, I was going to create a game plan. I was going to talk to you about it. Because, of course, there's a financial consideration here, too. He's like, don't do it by the end of the day today. Just do it. And once, like, of course, you're great about this, you're like, dude, JR did the thing. So I did the thing, you know, I was on a plate, like literally a week later, I was at this thing. So that was really cool and just furthered me pushing myself out there. But I think also, you know, finding things that if you're running a multi-level shop, if you got your stuff all together, you're like, yeah, I got all the boxes checked on life, you probably are due for some sort of upset and figure out what that upset is. Because that's the only way you're going to grow. You know, that's the only way you're going to get any better. And if there's nobody out there who is like done, you know, you're never done. You love to say if you're not growing, you're dying. So you kind of owe it to yourself to push yourself into these kinds of things.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you went. I'm glad that you asked me as quickly as you did. That's one of the themes that keeps coming to me in my life, like right now, just over the last few weeks. It just keeps coming up as essentially that success rewards speed. You took action real quick on that, and next thing you know, you were right there. Well, look, for our listeners, we appreciate you being here. Any last words at all, JR?
No, check it out. If what I sounds intriguing to you, I highly recommend it. They do these things every month. It's called Bold Advanced Leadership. I don't know if we put links or whatever, but
yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
It's out there. They have a video on their website. Check it out. I think they got some online stuff too, if you just want to dabble into it. Nope, that's pretty much it.
So remember, we are one of a handful of podcasts on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. You can find all of them at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com. And remember our app has a new URL that you can go to for, you know, it used to be, you would find that also at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com. But that's like the world's longest URL. So now you can find it at arpn.app. So go download the app and you'll be able to get all of the various podcasts that are on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Hope that you'll listen in again next week. And until then, go fill those bays.
You've been listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Kim and Brian Walker on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Marketing questions? Well, the Walkers have the answers. Check the show notes for their email.